Hello, everyone. My name is Byron Belitzos, and welcome to the very first podcast in a new podcast series coming from Earth Constitution Institute. And this is one of several new series here in 2024, the ECI Insights series, podcast series. This will be both audio and video. And today I'm honored to be introducing two of the key persons in our work and in our movement who are with us now. And a little bit about me, I'm kind of an in the trenches activist for World Federation since 1985, when I got involved long ago in a very different era when nobody knew anything about World Federation. But today, it's a growing movement, and I'm happy to say that I'm working directly with Glenn and Leopoldo as part of the operation at Earth Constitution Institute. And I just want to open a little bit with a little orientation to what we're going to do today, and just a tiny editorial from me about our work. You know, my observation over four decades is that after these decades, really it's now 80 years of expansion worldwide, the movement, we call it the Earth Federation movement, has evolved in diverse ways. And it's a beautiful flourishing of different schools of thought and different tactics. And you might say that there's a mainstream tactic, mainstream organizations within our fairly unknown movement. But the mainstream organizations are incrementalist in their approach. And this is very well intentioned and is a lot to be said for a moderate and incremental approach to evolution. But what we find, or at least what I find, is that this has the effect of upholding the status quo, especially the global north status quo. Because a lot of these mainstream organizations based in DC or New York City, places like that, they're folks that come out of the global north that have the assumptions of the powers that be, but are now in dissent. And these are relatively well-funded and they're well-intended groups. But I think we have to look at today's global situation and say that we're sad for the fact that they're relegated to the sidelines and they're powerless really to influence the world public opinion, because I think personally, I'm not speaking for the ECI, but I think they're speaking to the wrong audience. They're speaking to the mainstreamers out of which they arise. But what we really need to do is speak to the interests directly to the people of the world, because that's our cause. Our cause is the sovereignty of humanity over the planet. And so we at ECI and WCPA think in terms of how do we speak to the needs of ordinary people in a time of genocide, a time of feudal wars, a time of gross inequality and environmental collapse. And so we at ECI, Earth Constitution Institute, we and our partner organizations are like a crucial alternative to what at least I consider to be a failed mainstream tactic. So our sector of this movement is more sort of proactive and lean. We are grassroots activists. We aim to create a democratically governed world, and we put that up front. We stand against the status quo through engagement with grassroots activism aimed at a global democratic government under the authority of the Earth Constitution, possibly through inventing and creating a new world government, or by a radical reform of the UN Charter. So for us, rather than being polite about it in the sense of being really moderate with suggestions to the status quo, we're going around the status quo. We're appealing directly, as I said, to the world's people. And that's why we aim to replace the status quo system, which is rapidly destroying the planet. And it's especially destructive to the most poor and vulnerable people. on the planet. And of course, at the time that I speak, is we're in a very dire circumstance where Israel is beginning to invade Rafah in Gaza. And those are the people we represent, those oppressed people, as well as everybody. And by the way, today's Valentine's Day, so we offer our compassion and love to these vulnerable people. So you might say that we represent the interests of the global South. And because of the striking emphasis in the Earth Constitution on universal rights of everyone, including the most marginal. And so that's why we're especially focused on convening a new provisional world parliament. And this world parliament would be the 16th world parliament, provisional parliament. We call these the PWP, or we call this the PWP 16. And we're looking at holding that in 2025. But today we're going to look at kind of one of the main infrastructure features, structural features of the Earth Constitution, which is to create world electoral districts, 1,000 of them, that will elect delegates from the grassroots of the world's people to the future world parliament. And that's why today we're bringing you, in particular, Leopoldo Cook, who is a vice president of World Constitution of Parliament Association, WCPA, based in Venezuela, in the Guitara municipality. He can pronounce better than I. Leopoldo, as we called him, has such a long and really illustrious career in politics, culture, and spiritual pursuits, going back to the 70s. He has began as a Catholic, a mystic. He transcended Catholicism. He's a Bolivarian. He's been a Chavista. He is a Chavista. And his work has grown and expanded to today, where he is really a giant in our work, because he is in charge of the World Electoral Commission. And we will be talking about his work in particular today. Dr. Martin doesn't really require an introduction to the audience, but those of you who happen to be new, look up his books. In particular, his most recent published book is The Earth Constitution Solution, and a new book coming out, which maybe he can tell us a bit about soon. And his career has been as a professor of philosophy at Radford University, with a very special focus on peace studies and related matters, and has been a leader in our movement a long time, president of both the Earth Constitution Institute and the WCPA. So I first would like to ask you, Glenn, and welcome you to kind of frame today's discussion for us in terms of some background for folks. And for those who are really brand new, we also refer you to our website, earthconstitution.world, to get some more background. But Glenn's going to give us some introduction so we can get prepared to talk to Leopoldo. So Glenn, why don't you give us that framing of our discussion today?
Well, thank you, Byron. I appreciate the background that you've been sketching out, and I appreciate being here with Leopoldo as well. I've worked with him closely for a number of years now, and it's really, to my mind, one of my wonderful experiences in this work. As our listeners know, we are part of an organization that began in 1958 under Philip Isley, in which he realized that what the Earth needed most was a constitution that could serve as a model, a guide, and a blueprint for human beings moving from a situation in which the world is in militarized chaos, almost 200 militarized nations invading one another, subverting one another, keeping secrets from one another and so on, he realized that we really need global democracy. And as Byron's been pointing out, it needs to be global democracy that includes everyone, not the North or the East or the West, but everyone on Earth, including the billion or more people that are now in extreme poverty on the planet. And so they organized many people together, hundreds of people, to write this constitution over a period of 23 years. It was finished in 1991. And since 1991, we've been promoting knowledge of it, study of it, the following of it, and the preparations for the ratification of it. And under Article 19 of the Constitution, which is, it's a brilliant part of it, it's the last article in the Constitution, under Article 19, we have a blueprint for what we can do now, even prior to its ratification. And what we can do now, part of that is to elaborate the 1,000 world electoral districts that are called for by the Constitution and begin actually organizing them, taking, defining the boundaries of each of these and getting members and people who know about the Earth Constitution within each of these districts to begin a commission within their district, which then begins ratifying voters. We're working to provide secure online voting for these voters. So worldwide, we're working to get people to initiate their world electoral districts, begin organizing them, begin ratifying voters, getting people organized, the grassroots of the world, all over the world, the global South, the global North. We represent the future of humanity, because humanity has no future under the current world system. We're always in the threat of nuclear war. There's always genocides going on, terrible conflicts going on, struggle among imperial nations. We have no, the global environment collapses in the meantime. We have no future unless we can organize the grassroots of humanity to develop a truly democratic world system that represents everybody. And so Leopoldo has been one of the leaders of this. He's vice president for Latin America and the Caribbean, and he's done tremendous work throughout the Latin America and the Caribbean with respect to this world electoral district project. So
thank you.
With that introduction, I hope that's adequate, and I look forward to hearing Leopoldo talk about his work.
Thank you so much, Glenn, and that was superb as usual, and a very helpful introduction for all of us, and refresher for all of us about what we're about, what we're doing here, and in particular with the appeal to the grassroots of the world's people. So that brings us to Leopoldo. Leopoldo is the founder of the very first chartered official world electoral district. And I say that with a little envy, because I have also tried to found a world electoral district in the D.C., Washington, D.C. area. It's District 118, but we're not quite ready to be chartered and certified. But Leopoldo, I want to start with asking you to share with us, the process of your work in founding the world's first certified world electoral district in your district.
Thank you, Byron, Glenn. Thank you very much. Well, it has been not easy, because many people see our project as an utopian. So many people doesn't have a strategical view of the world, of the civilizational change that is going on. So they normally only have local and temporary struggles. And when they don't have any results of change, they get frustrated. So it is not easy to convince people to think ahead. They think it's almost impossible to change the system. So the work is to convince people. It's ideological. It's hard. Many years speaking to the people in so many ways, through the networks, with courses. We make short courses through WhatsApp, Telegram, and so on, or virtually or personally. Well, after 7 years, at least we could convince about 1,000 persons in the whole Latin America and the Caribbean, but not in all countries. It's our countries where it has been easier, in Venezuela, in Cuba, in Colombia, in Peru also. The principal countries where we have had a small group to begin with. Well, the first step was that, to convince people individually, then put them together in some groups to speak one with each other, to feel that they are something more than an individual search. And then to convince them to found a district. Really, it's not very difficult to activate a district, one of the 1,000 districts in which the world is divided. For example, here in Latin America, corresponds about 87 districts, according to the population, because each district has 8 million inhabitants. So for example, Venezuela and Aruba, Curaçao and Bonaire, we have 5 districts for this area, about 40 million inhabitants. But it's not very difficult to activate a district, because we have approved a protocol by which one person can initiate the formation if he has the strategic vision. Remember Gandhi, Martin Luther King, many of their fights, they began alone, one person. And they began to get around some people because they have the moral strength. That's the principal thing, the moral strength, the message, the possibility of change. Well, that person can get around two more, and these three persons can organize a district. That's what we did in Venezuela. Well, we had a little more of work, and we had 22 persons here in Guatire, in the central part of Venezuela. And now where we are combining the local fight in the environment, in cultural and so on, with the long time strategy to change the world.
Thank you for that excellent introduction and overview, Leopoldo. Let's go over again sort of the steps of, for those in our audience that want to emulate you in creating, and me, in creating a district. So you need one person to start who has a strategic vision, as you said, that understands what we're talking about today. And I would also refer people to the website page about world electoral districts for background as well, and to Glenn's writings and other material at the website. Would refer you there. Also, by the way, I would refer you all to sign up at the website as someone who affirms the Earth Constitution. So we've redone that page of the website. It's now ready to go. And if you do sign up at the membership page as a global citizen, as we call it, then you are sort of officially eligible to start a world electoral district. You also, if you're not quite ready for that, you can simply sign up as a member in various ways. You could just leave your email address and get educated by our updates. But if you're ready to become an organizer of the people in your district, go there, sign up. You will get a GCID, I think it's called, your ID, that makes it more official. And then you will be referred by us to others in your district who have signed up to become global citizens, which is, again, the official name. And we will refer them to you. But of course, it's up to you as the organizer to find people in your own circle. So say more, Leopoldo, about how that was for you. How you started, you gave us a bit of an overview, but did you then get two people to join you? And then what happened?
Okay, as you said, we got several persons who had affirmed the constitution, so they got the universal or global or world citizenship. So everybody was doing something, culture and environment and this problem of the city. So what we have done is to join together and to think on how we can solve these problems, but with a strategic view. But because what I said before, for example, let me put an example. When I speak about the environment, sometimes I am in a group and I throw garbage in the floor of the place where we are speaking. People say, what? What's that? You are speaking about environment. You are throwing garbage in the floor. And I say, well, what's the problem? For Mother Earth, it's the same. Maybe it's better for her, for Mother Earth, to have it in the floor, because if we put all the garbage in the land place of the city, that is worse. Mother Earth prefers to have it spread, so it can be dealt with the natural processes of recycling. I say then, well, think about it, because we have an anthropocentric view of ecology. That's an anthropocentric view, because we want to have everything beautiful. But that's not the problem. The problem is to change the way we produce things to mimic the nature. So we have to recycle in the process, circle. We should use the produced waste to new products. So, and how could we do that? We have to change the system. So your local fight should be changed or focused in a strategic view to change the global society. You cannot solve the environmental problem doing planting trees or cleaning the beaches. Well, that's good to for awareness, but that doesn't solve the problem. The problem will be solved when we change the system. So for your local fight in environmental or in culture or in the problem of the city, the water, the electricity, you need to have a strategic view. And the Earth Constitution gives you that direction, because, you know, there are a lot of groups, humanists, new humanists, peace groups, and so on. They speak about to change things, but they don't give us a body, a structure, how to change the things. So we say to them, okay, you are the soul of the change. That's very good. You want to change. You want solidarity. You want environmental balance. You want spirituality. That's very good. But how can we reach that? We need a structure, a body. And that's the body is the Earth Constitution. So we need to have a strategic view. So that's the message that I think we need to give to the people, so they can get again some vision of the future, and they can grow as persons and to feel that they are doing something effectively for the change of our world.
Thank you, Leopoldo. I'll have to use your technique of throwing some dirt on the rug, and next time I give a talk. And because, you know, we need to vividly appeal to people to get them involved in a you know, not an easy movement, which is a planetary movement, as you're emphasizing, that we have to think in terms of the whole planet. And then our tactics come up from the grassroots of the people of the world, but we have to start in our district of 8 million people. So I want to refer this to Glenn and see if Glenn has any additional comment as to what Leopoldo has just said, in particular in light of your last book, which does talk about the climate crisis and why this imperative that we get underway with our work of promoting the Earth Constitution. How would you put that, Glenn?
Well, I think Leopoldo hit the nail really on the head when he talks about the system, right? It's the world system, the capitalist model of production and distribution and sale and making profit and then just throwing the waste in a dump or in someplace in a trash. This process, along with the war system in the world, does not think in terms of harmony with the global ecosystem. It just doesn't. It's just not part of the equation. Profit and loss just operates independently of the global environmental system, and there many of the experts have pointed that out. And I quote those experts in my book that. We really need, they call it bioconsciousness, planetary consciousness, ecozoic consciousness. We need to be in conformity with our world. But we can't do that as long as we don't have a world system in place that is consciously a world system, that consciously allows us as human beings to monitor the global environment, to see what kind of destruction that all our activities are putting into it, to see how we can prosper and survive and live well without this system that is now degrading the planetary ecosystem. You know, and Leopoldo's point about the system having to address it in terms of systemic changes applies to all our global problems, I think, including like the war system, right? How do we stop spending $1.8 trillion a year globally on war and weapons and mutual destruction of one another? The only way to do that is to create a peace system for the world. A peace system means you have to eliminate this obsession with national sovereignty and the right to militarize and the right to struggle against other nations without recognizing any overarching laws over the nations themselves or their leaders. In other words, we need a democratic constitution for the Earth that puts the people of Earth in power and subjects the nations to law as well. So we need to subject the polluters economic system to an overall system change directed towards sustainability. And we have to do the same thing with the war system, converted to an overall system directed toward a peace and dignity system.
Thank you, Glenn. And you know, it strikes me right now that, you know, the Paris Accords agreed to by the United Nations were ambitious, but have failed because it's non-binding on the governments that agreed to it. And so it's not working out as far as managing the climate to get to the goals that we have, that's been declared by the United Nations. Right. So it's gonna be rather embarrassing, really, that these systems are so totally ineffective, that we have to be talking about something like this, the Earth Constitution. And I want to refer it back to Leopoldo and ask you a question, Leopoldo, in the light of what we just said. Let's say that you wanted to, that you you founded your electoral district. You're the founder, and you have two people with you. So you have three. So we require that there be three names attached to this to get started and to begin to get certified. So let's say you had three people, and let's say the people that they're working with you are very concerned about the situation in the Gaza war. What would you say to them about how this work locally in your district, which is, I think it's the region around Caracas, and your municipality, 8 million people. How does that relate to the war going on Ukraine or in Gaza and the rest of the wars and genocide, the genocide in the Sudan and the famine there? How would you explain that to get your district started and launched? How would you do that, Leopoldo?
Yes, we do it in a similar way, as I explained before, with the environmental issue about the garbage in the floor, for example. It's extrapolating about the war is similar. We cannot solve the war problem of wars until we have a change of the civilizational way we have. We need a structure. The United Nations is not binding, as you said, not binding. So everybody agreed on something, but without being obliged to comply with it. And you have also the veto from the five principal members of the Security Council. You have the power of the budget of the United States and the big countries. So it's not a democracy. So you cannot solve the problem. What we can do is to express solidarity, okay? We can help people and so on. We can give a message of peace, but we are not going to solve the problem really until we change the system. We always reach in the same place. We need to change the governability of the world. We need to have a parliament with binding decisions in which countries are represented, in which people is represented, without veto, without weapons, with an environmental compromise, with social compromise. That's what the Earth Constitution is. Any other change in the United Nations to get a bigger Security Council with more members and so on, that's not going to help in anything. So what we need to do in every aspect of the problems of the world in an electoral district is to continue working what we are doing, but with a strategic vision that everything we are doing has to contribute to that change, to accumulate in the mind of the people the possibility of the change. Because, okay, we are growing. We are growing organically, as they say, linearly. We are growing, but that's not enough. But we are in an era of changes, in a civilizational crisis. So in some moment, it will crash. It will crash. And in that moment, we need that in the mind of the people, at least in a critical mass, at least 5-10% of the population, there is a reference in the mind that it is possible to change. Because in revolutionary times, things change in a in a very strange way. New leaders appear. The old leaders are gone. New situations appear. Nobody knows where from. But if we are not prepared ideologically, if the people has not the possibility in their mind, then the global fascism will take the opportunity of the change. What we have to do is to put it in the mind of all of us, the people, the idea of the possibility of the change.
Thank you for that elaboration, Leopoldo. I think we can wrap up in a bit, but I'd like to bring forward a little bit more the practical work that an activist who's listening to this, that's eager and ready to get started. I want to first ask you, Glenn, the steps as you would explain it to an activist that's listening to us right now. That's maybe say they're in Chicago or they're in somewhere in Spain or in Africa, and they want to start. We know so far it's been stated that it starts with you. You get two people to join you. Then you apply. You're going to apply through the website, through the page there on World Electoral Districts. And what will you be doing in the coming months and years to grow this properly so that it becomes a working unit in the World Federation?
Yeah.
Glenn, I'm going to ask you that question, and then we'll end with Leopoldo to give a final statement about that. So, Glenn, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay. It's a good question. The key is to go to the website, right, and to get registered. And on the website, it asks whether you want to volunteer to help. And people who say they do, then they're in connection with World Headquarters. They're in connection with Leopoldo or myself or someone in India or wherever they happen to be. And so we begin this interaction of solidarity and development and working together within each district. I think the idea here has to be something akin to many of the transformative movements that have happened in history with people, where it isn't just a formal thing where I get two other people and we register the district officially on the website. We need a community. We need a culture. We need people who realize that they're in a revolutionary situation, that by registering voters and building this group, this solidarity group within their World Electoral District, that they are doing something that's absolutely transformative, that's absolutely fundamental. And this means that they don't, like any good culture, any solidarity group, they don't just go out and continue to register voters. They have meetings, cultural meetings. They put on dramas. They watch videos. They interact with one another in all kinds of cultural and mutual friendship and solidarity ways, so that what you have is a community, right? A transformative community building, hopefully within each of the 1,000 districts around the world, right? And it's this energy, this transformative energy, that, you know, imagine what it would be like, even if out of 8 million people, even if there's a few thousand in each of the 1,000 electoral districts, the voice that they would have, the awareness that they would be building. It, just as Leopoldo said a few moments ago, when the time comes when the world realizes it no longer can survive with the present flawed world system of militarized sovereign nation states and capitalist institutions that are just trashing the environment. When the world reaches that stage, and it may be any day, maybe soon, then, you know, all over the world, 1,000 communities of solidarity and transformative vision will be there to make the transformation to the Earth Constitution, to global democracy, and the beginning of a real human system, a humane system, a system of prosperity and peace and sustainability and justice, right, on the planet. That's what needs to happen. That's our vision, I think.
I have experienced that myself with District 118 as the organizer of the district. That it occurred to me, well, I've got a lot to do here. We're going to sign up, you know, thousands of people, millions really, to ratify or affirm the Constitution, so that we can be eligible to elect a delegate to the World Parliament or the Provisional World Parliament. So how am I going to do this? So what we have been doing is what you said, Glenn. We have parties. We have
fantastic.
We have dinners.
Yeah.
And we have wine and beer, and we get to know each other and sort of give speeches at these dinners. It's like Plato's Symposium, where people give speeches.
Fantastic.
After being inspired by the last speech. And so we're building a culture, a community, that will then fan out into the Washington district, Washington DC area, and be inspired, you know, to do this. And why are we doing it? Are we doing this because we, you know, just feel like it's a good idea? No, because there really is nothing else you can do to put a stop to this. You've got to circumvent the system, which is destroying us, and destroy and create a new system from the grassroots.
Absolutely.
It would be legitimate. So I want to now refer that to you, Leopoldo, for a final word to everyone about how you are growing a community in your district there. And what, by the way, is the number of your district? And does it have a name?
Hey, it's Venezuelan Center, because it's the central part of Venezuela. We have 5 districts in Venezuela, and it is in the center. So what you said is right. You have to do everything that the people wants to do to grow, because we are here. You want to go here. You cannot speak people about this. You have to speak people about this in the bottom where they are. You have to go with the people, because if you speak too high in the strategic region, they won't understand. They see us an utopia. But you have to convince them that utopia is useful to walk, because you have the direction where to go. So, but working with the people in the things in which they believe, that's very important. So it's a dialectic work, okay? Something here, something there in the future. So you can slowly go into join both directions. And that's very important what you said, the participation in this 16th session of the Provisional World Parliament. Because not only for the people that are constructing or activating the districts, also for all kind of organization, peace organizations, human rights organization, environmental organization, political, spiritual, religious organization, universities. Everybody can have a delegate to the Provisional World Parliament. We have a year to prepare. We have to join. That's mandatory. We need to join. Because if we do not do that, that would be a betrayal to history. And we have to participate with young people. Young people have a different code of things, different from modernity. Mm. They have a different code. They are revolutionary. So it's important that the young people feel that they are included in the project.
I'm glad you're concluding on young people. And we invite young people who are viewing this today to get engaged with us and to do it in a festive way, as we've been speaking, with music. For example, Leopoldo's launch had music. You know, we celebrate our love of humanity, our compassion, our, and you know, I wore a pink shirt today because it's Valentine's Day, but it is symbolic of what we're doing here, which is extending love, compassion, and support through building a global democratic government of the people, for the people, and by the people of Earth. So thank you, everybody, and thank you so much, Glenn and Leopoldo, for being with us today, and we'll be back again soon with the next in the series, the NCI Insight series. Thanks, thank everyone. You. Be well.
All right, thank you.
Es un círculo vital en la rosa de los tiempos y es el más hermoso cuento.